Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey.
The Earth, the core of the Solar Federation, has known an extended period of peace and prosperity. But now tensions with the neighboring Galman Empire threaten to pull the galaxy inexorably into war. With the passing of the Galman Emperor Deslok, the stage is set for galactic chaos. On the throne world of Galmania, Minister Jenner, the head of the political office, is poised to seize power. Jenner, a figure of fear and cunning, has already eliminated all obstacles between himself and the crown. Fleet Admiral Kine, head of the Galman military, has also been busy. Under his orders, General Faust and his forces ambushed the Solar Federation battleship Argo on its way back to Earth from a diplomatic mission. Though eventually victorious, the Argo was badly damaged. Having completed a space warp to put distance between the ship and the combat zone, Captain Venture calls an expanded staff meeting to assess the current situation.
All right, people. Let's start with the big stuff. Where are we on repairs?
Most of the damaged hull has already been replaced. The wave motion shield emitters on the port side are being changed out, but, well, those will take a while.
How long until we have defensive screens?
2-3 days, maybe. It's not the sort of job we can rush.
Right. How about the main engine?
Well, we should be done later today, but we'll need a babysitter the rest of the way to Earth. And I'd recommend against warping for the next day or two at least.
On the bright side, the patch of space we're in is full of active nebula and other phenomena. It ought to play heck with any Galman long-range scanners.
Thank heaven for minor miracles.
If they do find us, the weapon systems are at 100%. We also have a fighter for every active pilot, but we'll be using our last backup plane.
Speaking of... Sickbay, Dr. Grigorov.
Captain!
What's the status of the wounded?
Little change. Everyone we can treat is stable. I released the 3 Black Tiger pilots we had down here just a few moments ago. We still have 14 people in cryostasis until we can get them to a proper hospital. Their wounds are too extensive to be treated here.
Which brings me to the long-range aspect of this meeting. The Argo wasn't outfitted for an extended stay in aggressively hostile space. Mr. Jimenez, you're our quartermaster. What supplies do we have and what are we short on?
We're set for air, food, and water. At least short term. The protein recyclers are operating at peak, but there's always some aggregate loss of nutrition every time it goes through the system. We'll eventually have to resort to supplements.
We have those in spades.
The Algae Plant is also kicking out more than enough breathing gases to make both air and water with. So life support-wise, I think we're in good shape.
What about spare parts?
Simple stuff. Hull plating and the like. We're fine. We deconstituted all the scrap from the repair work, and the component molecules are in storage for when we need to make more stuff.
What about complex systems, like shield emitters or new fighters?
Yeah, the more complex an object is, the more materials the computer is going to waste in its construction. Sheet metal's easy, circuitry's hard. What we really need is a layover at a shipyard for a full resupply.
Just stop off on the way home for the milk and a carton of eggs.
Regretful interruptions, Captain, but you need to see this.
What is it, Pulsar?
Media feed from Galmania. Admiral Rikali was arrested for murdering Emperor Deslok in addition to Lord Masterson and others.
What?
There is more. Minister Jenner has made his move. He declared himself Emperor a few minutes ago.
The emperors of Galman have traditionally addressed their subjects in the central plaza, immediately before the imperial palace itself. Today will be no exception. Forgoing his usual finery for the simple garb favored by his predecessor, Minister Jenner strides to the dais at the center of the vast balcony above the plaza. There, the ceremonial cloak of office will be bestowed upon him, and the title of emperor will be his. In ages past, the plaza thronged with multitudes of cheering people, but here, tradition is broken. The bowl of the plaza is nearly empty, perhaps at a tenth of its capacity. Jenner pretends not to notice this as he strides forth. Just as he does not notice the signs demanding the gathered crowd cheer, or the thinly veiled threat of the guards who stand behind those signs. Eventually, Minister Jenner reaches the dais. The dark cloak is cast about his shoulders, and Emperor Jenner addresses his loyal subjects.
My people, loyal sons and daughters of Galmania, and you are conquered subjects. The time of uncertainty is over. The chaos that began with the foul murder of our beloved Deslon has been quelled. The fiend behind the tragedy is in our custody, and he will be tried and executed for this base deed. Like you, I looked upon the death of Deslon with sadness in my heart. Sadness and dread that our empire would fall, that the promise of our progenitors would fail in the current generation, that our glory would fade. But then, before he was murdered by the traitorous Rugani, Lord Masterson delivered this message.
Minister Jenner, as my final act as sovereign of the Galman Empire, I name you my heir. Lead our people as I cannot. Return us to our proper place in the universe. Return Galman to glory once again.
I confess, at first, I was overwhelmed, then unsure. How can I ever live up to the example of who has gone before? But then, my people, I became resolute. My ascension to the throne is a sign that Galmania must be made great again, that she must throw off the mewling constraints of the past, and embrace her destiny. Together, we will blaze a glorious trail through the stars to take our destined place in the cosmos.
And with that, the new Emperor of Galman dramatically turns and leaves his subjects to cheer him, under pain of death.
Emperor Zizai.
Inspiring, Your Majesty. Gale Fuzeron.
The crowd was impressive, wasn't it? I doubt even the mighty Deslok drew better.
Hardly.
What was that?
Your Majesty!
How dare you? How dare you imply that I am any less loved than that lowly son of a pirate who came before me? He wasn't even Galmanian, just some luckless vagabond from a planet we've never heard of. Who are you to even tread on my shadow?
Your Majesty, I...
Deegan, shoot this useless dog.
At once, Your Majesty.
Toss his useless body over the balcony rail. Let that be the warning not to cross Emperor Jenner. Now leave me, all of you. I wish to be alone.
Yes, Your Majesty. Gale Fuzeron.
Quite the spectacle.
What do you want?
To remind you of your obligation to us. The present Galman fleet is to be recalled and dismantled. We will replace them with newer ships, more technologically sound ones. It needn't be done all at once, but it must begin. Now!
Do not dictate terms to me. I am the Emperor of Galman.
And I am the being who put you on that throne. Do not test me, Emperor.
Bodhi Rukali sits in a cell. A bare-walled cube barely tall enough for him to stand up in. The walls are smooth and featureless, aside from a sanitation slit in the floor and a thin bedroll. Time drags on as he mentally runs through the events over and over again, He hadn't known his sidearm was missing. Whoever took it replaced it with a perfect replica. The traffic accident just in front of his government car that day seemed perfectly innocent. The unbroken flow of time continues. He is fed at irregular intervals. The sourceless illumination of the walls waxes and wanes at the apparent whim of his jailer. And so it is that when the sounds of a scuffle outside rouse him from his doze, he isn't prepared for the blinding radiance of the hallway. When two figures, one pink-skinned and the other muffled by numerous layers of bulky clothing, drag the limp form of the guard in behind them, he's certain that he's lost his mind.
On your feet, Admiral.
What? Colonel?
No names, Admiral. We are taking you to safety.
We don't have long before the security systems back up. Get him moving. I'll cover you.
Come, Admiral. We have a lift van outside. It isn't far.
The trio slowly make their way down the long, featureless hallway. The disguised figure consults a map as they move. Colonel Sheridan, with a Gallman energy rifle, brings up the rear.
Halt! Damn it!
We're coming out hot. Be ready.
Understood. Loading dock is secure. Extraction cover is in place.
Bursting through the final door, the trio stumble into a large open cargo area. An armored lift van sits idling nearby, as half a dozen uniformed Gallman soldiers rush the door. The soldiers hurriedly push past the trio and take up positions at their exit point, tossing flashbang grenades down the hallway to discourage pursuit. The grenades detonate with searing glare and a noise like the planet being rent to shreds. Admiral Rucali and his rescuers are flung to the ground by the blast and dragged into the van by their compatriots. As the van rises into the air, Sheridan reaches into his tunic for a cigar and lighter.
Smooth. Not bad for being out of the game for a dozen years, eh?
Things went as expected.
Now I can breathe easier.
Dila, are you out of your mind?
Apparently. When this one showed up at my residence in the middle of the night with a sack full of espionage gear and an unconscious assassin in tow?
You didn't slam the door in my face. Makes everything that followed your fault, too.
Exactly. Now you're an accomplice to my escape.
Sir, they were watching your daughter. My sack of tricks came from the death squad the kind sent for me. May they rest in peace. The thug I stashed in her closet was there to kill her.
Kine?
Emperor Jenner.
Emperor Jenner.
Emperor Jenner. He's still a rat. Look, Admiral, we have a ship waiting to get you and me off this rock one step ahead of the baddies. We'll discuss what comes next when we're safe.
You and I. What of my daughter?
I will stay behind. I am a loyal officer of the Empire, regardless of this evening's activities. Besides, you will need eyes within the military proper.
You try and talk some sense into her. I gave up.
I am proud of you, Dila.
Thank you, Father.
All right, Ray. Bunch of martyrs. Getting back to business. Her disguise included some thermal baffling, so the present cameras shouldn't be able to ID her. But, in order to keep Dila's cover intact, we have a little show planned.
The van touches down at the spaceport, where a Dreadnought-class battleship sits prepared for takeoff, the pursuing police vehicles barely a moment behind. The rear door of the van opens, and the rescue party boils out of it, the last soldier dragging a now handcuffed and disheveled Dila along behind him. Her disguise is gone, and she wears civilian sleepwear. The police forces leap from their transports to follow, as Dila shoves at her guard, causing him to stumble. In that instant, she grabs his sidearm and levels it at her father.
Die, traitor.
The blast strikes the stunned Admiral squarely in the shoulder, throwing him back into Sheridan's waiting arms, as the former Marine catches hold and hauls him up the gangplank into the waiting dreadnought. The ship rises into the sky on its anti-gravity cushion, all the while the kidnapped woman on the tarmac firing at it uselessly, screaming her defiance.
Chief Engineer's Log, September 26, 2265. We're continuing on course for home. Engine efficiency is a dismal 46%. Quartermaster Jimenez is right. What we need is a week in a space dock. That said, I want to commend the entire engineering team for keeping this all boat in the sky. Especially crewman Susan Haruna, who was just in the main engineering office before a shift was up. The change in her during this short mission is profound. With everything that's gone wrong, she's been a rock of dependability, A calm and steady voice when and where it's needed most. She may not have the rank to run the engine room, but she's got the knowledge and the skill to. I'm officially entering her for special commendation upon our return to Earth.
Dispensing meal. Enjoy your dinner.
Just like Mom used to make.
On a personal note, I'm worried she might be working a bit too hard. She seems rather depressed of late.
Okay, there she is.
I don't know, Kino. This seems a bit too much like...
Like what?
Like the plot of a bad teen rom-com.
Pish-tosh! I already set up the comm relay with Zero, so grab your tray and follow me in, Mr. Chicken Pants.
Hey, Susan, can we join you?
Sure. Pull up a bench.
Thanks. Man, I haven't seen you awake in days. You still pulling extra shifts in engineering?
Yeah, the wave engine's efficiency is just barely up to warp level. We have to keep adjusting it constantly. It is downright exhausting.
You know what, Tommy? She should come with us.
Come where?
Kino booked one of the holographic rooms for a couple hours. She's got her favorite program ready.
It's called Star Swimming. So the program manipulates artificial gravity to lift you up and keep you from bouncing off the walls. And then it projects images of deep space, like, all around you. No protective suit, no danger, just the fun of zero-G and beautiful scenery. Great way to relax.
This sounds like a sales pitch.
Well, it kind of is. Look, Susan, you're tired, you're frazzled. We want to help.
You know what? It sounds fun. To heck with it. Let's go.
The trio get up to leave, but just outside the ship's mess...
Kino, your wrist comm is beeping.
Oh. Yes?
Silk, please come to the hangar bay.
On my way, Zero. Sorry, she must have found something in her diagnostics. You know what? You two go ahead. Tommy knows my code for the reservation. I'll go find out what's up and I'll join you two in a bit.
Okay, sure. Come on, Tommy.
As Susan turns to continue down the hallway, Tommy sees Kino flash him an exaggerated thumbs up. Sighing in resignation, he follows Susan and Kino skips along the other direction. Arriving at the holography rooms, Tommy selects the one Kino reserved and punches in the activation code. The door opens on a beautiful wash of galaxies, nebula, and stellar phenomena. A lighted path leads to the center of the chamber.
Wow. This is beautiful.
Yeah, this one's really nice. The program picks random images to add to the show. Just head up to the platform and jump up. Simulation begins automatically.
Here goes. Oh, wow. I haven't been in space since EVA training at the Academy. That felt terrifying, just a thin bit of plastic between me and death. This is just...
Freedom?
Yeah. Thanks, Tommy. I really needed this.
You're very welcome.
Eventually, the session ends, and Susan Haruna returns to her cabin to find Kino already in bed. She rouses at her friend's entrance.
Hey! How'd it go?
As arranged dates go, it was great.
Oh, you knew?
Of course I did. Kino, you're one of my friends, and I like you a lot, but subtlety isn't one of your gifts.
But it went great?
Yeah. I think he almost kissed me.
Oh. Did you want him to?
I don't know.
Look, I promise not to arrange any more dates, but you guys are both my friends. He really, really likes you. If you don't like him, that's fine. Just tell him so. Soon.
Susan nods and reaches over to turn out the cabin light. The only thing she's sure of at this moment is the need for sleep. Across the stars, the Galmanian day has come and gone. Once more, the sun sets crimson against the sky.
Jenna, I have come again, one last time, to remind you of our pact.
I am the Emperor of Galmon. I am the center of the universe, and I tell you no.
I'd hoped you would say that.
With that, the mysterious figure fades from view once more, and Emperor Jenner looks around him, suddenly uncertain. Aboard his flagship, in high orbit above the planet, Fleet Admiral Kine receives an urgent report.
Sir, we're detecting all over Galmania the Imperial Guard ships.
Breathe, man. What happened?
The Imperial Guard. All the Imperial Guard ships around Homeworld are repositioning. We read massive energy buildup. Preparing to...
But the man's report is drowned out by a flash of unholy light. The Imperial Guard, fully half of the ships in orbit around Galmania, have opened fire. Not at the world's other defenses, or the other ships in orbit, but at the planet itself. Billions die in the first moments. Still, the fire continues to fall. Across the globe, merciless. In the Imperial Palace, Jenner looks to the heavens and trembles. Nothing can survive the firestorm of the Blue Imperial Guard's vessels. And nothing does. Their work completed, the ships turn, and one by one they warp out of the system.
Track them. Find out where they are going. And rally the fleet. All of it.
Deep in the void, in a pocket of pure nothingness, two voices stir.
The Gaulman treachery has been settled. The would-be Emperor is dead. Their fleet is no match for our strength, even if they do not yet know it. Is your thirst for vengeance quenched?
I do not desire vengeance, Lord Bahara. More blood won't honor my brother's death. Only the saving of lives going forward.
Indeed, we will not deal with your people as we did the Gaulman. The Earth can still be saved.
I beg of you, Lord, do what you can.
Valbardin, it is time. Lend me your strength, my people, all of you. Focus your energies upon me. Let us begin.
At the Solar Federation Command Complex on Earth, confusing reports begin to come in.
Admiral Drake, we can't raise the repair dock on Alpha. Bernard Starr's gone quiet as well.
Periphery colonies are panicking. We keep receiving bizarre telemetry, like long-range communications are being bounced back.
The cargo vessel Thurgood reports that an unmeasurable subspace distortion has appeared off their starboard. It reads like a warp field the size of the solar system.
What the blazes is going on?
You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 8, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, The Hamerton as Stephen Jacobs, Coor as Reginald Montgomery, James Cleveland as Pulsar, Thomas Drake as Emperor Jenner, Andrew Wilson as Emperor Deslock, Jay Thyoid as Deegan, J.
Josh Lambright as Admiral Kine. Luis Miscellaniano as Admiral Boti Rucali. Jeff Ashbury as Ambassador Sheridan. Rebecca Thomas as Dila Rucali. Stay Holland as David Erickson. Carly Walker as Susan Haruna. Alex Alesperu as Tommy Harrison. Taylor Carlson as Kinu Ogawa. Ashley Lynn as Zero. Leo Griffiths as Baharik Gao. Finn M. K. as Edward Morgan. Sean Benveniste as the Emperor's Guard. Josh Clark as the Driver. Paul Appleby and Ben McPhail as the Solar Federation Tex. Matt Seago as Lieutenant Joel. And Math Silby as Admiral Neville Drake. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchusenkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchusenkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
Garmania is a dead world, wreathed in flame and blood. Above, Fleet Admiral Kine vows vengeance. Meanwhile, the chaos that surrounds our solar system will irrevocably remake the galaxy forever. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 9, The Revelation of the Valbardan. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.